It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's slightly after 3 o'clock. You can thank OG Wade for that. But it's 3 o'clock on Tuesday, which means it is Tuesdays with Elliot. Brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or the nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, we heard you had a little bit of an adventure returning back from Cincinnati, so we welcome you back
little
to the
bit.
Delaware
thank
Valley.
Thank you, thank you. And I got to say, Cincinnati was nice. I got to give it to you, Ike. That's a top five football city.
Come on, Jack.
Top five. Never been
to the city.
What'd you like about it?
Dude, the football scene around there was unbelievable.
Top five football city?
Yeah, I think it's top five.
Okay.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Philly. Kansas City.
Kansas City, Pittsburgh.
Green Bay. Okay, so that's Detroit?
So I took Green Bay out just because I would never, ever want to live there. Like, I would rather live in Detroit or Cincinnati than Green Bay.
Well, that's, you said football.
Not many people have ever said that.
Well, but I'm saying part of being a great football city is also, like, picturing yourself living there.
You'd rather live in Detroit? Yeah, I guarantee you not many people have said that.
Yeah.
The city is turning, man.
I've heard some good things about Detroit, actually.
Look, we'll be there for the championship game, so I'm excited to see it.
Are you sure they won't be here the way everybody's talking?
They might be, they might be.
So, Elliot, let me ask you this. The top thing we talked about was, you know, Ike said that he believes they turned the corner. They found the formula, all of these things. Once again, Super Bowl contenders. Are you there with this Eagles team yet?
I am. I'm definitely there. I think for me, it's because it isn't a one-week thing. Like, I think it's been three straight weeks of them improving. And I've said this. This isn't just like a overreaction now. I thought they played better against Cleveland than everybody wanted to admit because everyone was so mad at Nick. And then I thought against the Giants, they played better than they did against the Browns. And then I thought against the Bengals, they played better than they did against the Giants. So I've seen three straight weeks of improvement. And also, obviously, coming from the guy that tracked every throw in training camp, like Jalen taking care of the ball is 1, 2, and 3 for me. Like, that's it. If Jalen's taking care of the ball, I am in on the team. And I think Jalen has been way smarter with the football over the last 3 weeks. He's gone 4 straight games without an interception. He had a fumble against Tampa, which is bad, but 4 straight games without an interception. That's the most he's ever done in his career. Even in 2017, the most he ever did was 4 straight games.
Man, 22.
Yeah, sorry, 22, yeah. So I look at the team and I go, Jalen's playing well. The defense is playing well. Obviously, they have a ton of talented players on offense, and they're improving week after week. So I don't see any reason not to be in on them.
Well, I think there's a difference between acknowledging their improvement and given the... Because we really have almost the story of two halves of the first half of the season, right? There was pre-buy and post-buy. And I think it's fair to say that they are improving. I think it's fair to say that you see the light at the end of the tunnel. But... It's just not that long ago before we were talking about them potentially missing the playoffs.
But I think a difference is, so in 2016, when the team started 3-0, right? And at 3-1, they barely lost to Detroit. Like, we were surprised by that. Like, that team wasn't supposed to be that good.
Right.
I think if you look at the 7 games they've played this year, in the 4 games they've had mostly everybody, they've looked kind of exactly how many people thought, right? Like, I know me and you are more at like 10 wins instead of 12, but they're 4-0 when they have everybody. They're averaging almost 30 points when they have everybody. They've beaten the Packers when they've had everybody. They've beaten the Bengals when they had everybody. So while I get your point that there was definitely a stretch where they didn't look great, and like the Green Bay game, I left feeling almost more discouraged because of how Jalen played. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, now that if you look at the totality of it, they have been more a football team, I think, that we expected to see than they have been the opposite of it.
And you have to at least allow for the first 4 weeks. And it's not that you erase it, but you almost have to look at it through the prism of the first 4 weeks was their first real game action as a team, and they didn't have key players in some of those games. They're still 2-2, but if I was going through my record of predictions, they're only one game off of what I predicted. You know, I thought they would beat the Falcons at home, and I didn't know what would happen with the first game of the season. So they beat Green Bay unexpectedly. I thought they should beat the Falcons. They lose that game, and now you beat Cincinnati, whereas when I went through my preseason predictions, I had that as a loss on my list. So they're really at 5-2, and I think most people would have been happy with them being at 5-2, and really they're a drop away from being 6-1.
Well, and here's the other reason why they've made believers out of me, is if you look at where this team was at, think about it. They were in New Orleans down with like a minute to go, staring 1-2 in the face with likely 1-3 in the face next week against Tampa. Mm-hmm. And they get that Goddard play. Like, my biggest concern with this team was that if it was going to fall apart, they would be unable to stop it. That if the ball started rolling down the hill, that last year would like that would be there, that they wouldn't have the resiliency to do it. To me, this team bouncing back from like that 2-2 start, nearly being 1-3, getting smoked against Tampa, like the whole city trying to get Nick out of here against the Browns, to bounce back from that, I didn't think they had that in them. Like, my concern was never talent. My concern was this thing was broken, and once it's broken, you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. And I'm impressed at how it looks like they fixed it.
I generally agree with that. I was not confident in them turning it around.
Mm-hmm.
However,
and to be honest, I wasn't either. So the fact that they did it, you know, I have to give them credit.
I do. And I thought the Giants, on some level, I was more impressed with the Giants win than the Bengals win, only because of the context of the,
Right.
I thought that that game was the honestly, the crossroads of the season.
It was coming off the Browns
season.
Game. It was coming off
and
of that.
The Knicks stuff.
Think of how many moments they've had like that where they've avoided disaster.
I know. I just, that feeling that you have shaken of feeling like they could fall apart, I just think that it takes more for me, for a team that I felt that way about, that it takes more for me to not feel like that feeling could come back. You know, that if things get rocky again, I'm not going to be confident. I will once again be waiting for that bad thing
to
happen.
So see, maybe that's where we differ, because if they lose to the Jags, I'm not like pressing the panic button. This team has gotten me to a point where I'm going to need to see 2 or 3 weeks of poor play before I don't believe anymore. Because I think they have played, for the most part, now in the totality of it. And look, when we were in it, certainly I felt that they weren't playing well in the turnovers. But the totality of this season has been more impressive to me than it has been discouraging. And because of that, I'm giving them leeway. Right, like if that Bengals win bought them leeway for me, the three straight wins bought them leeway for me. I think they'll beat the Jaguars, but if they don't, I'm not going to be like, well, I knew Nick was a fraud. I told you guys Jalen wasn't that good. They've been good enough for a long enough stretch for me where I'm back to believing that they are the team that we saw in like 2022 and like the beginning of 2023.
Yeah, they're beating the Jags. Let me read this for you.
Yeah,
and this is another reason why you should believe. Especially when thinking about how they will handle adversity, what they did. They didn't do well last year versus adversity they've already gone through this year, and they've handled it well. They banded together. They didn't splinter apart. So here's Jalen. A fool isn't a fool for making a mistake. A fool is a fool for refusing to learn. And I'm going to learn from the things that went wrong last year. Now, it's one thing to say it or what have you. It's one thing to put it in practice. And that's what he's done. He's had the chance. If last year was still lingering, if he didn't like Nick and all this other stuff was going on, there was a moment in the first month of the season where it could have very easily went the wrong way like it did last year.
Multiple times.
That's not what happened. They convened. They hashed out whatever it is they needed to hash out, talked about things they needed to talk about, got on the same page, and he has even come out and been in glowing support of his head coach. Like, so to me, that says a lot. I know sometimes guys just say things, and I get that. But for this kid, who's been stubborn to a fault at times, where he wouldn't change certain things, he clearly has learned from at least the role he played in last year. Not saying it was all his fault, but things that he may feel like I could have done better to help us pull out of that six-game slump at the end of the season. He's choosing to do things differently this year, and that has a ripple effect when things don't go well. He's, instead of him pulling away and saying, let me process stuff and this is how I do it on my own, he's in the fight, in the fire with those guys.
And with Nick.
And with Nick, yes, and with Nick. Because quite frankly, it's Nick and the team, and then there was Jalen over there.
Yeah.
So I've said this before. You line up both guys, and you talk about who's all lining up with whom and this and that and the other. Nick has more people lining up in his corner because he's more relatable. That the players, he's more approachable, right? That he wears his emotions on his sleeves. He's like one of them. That's where Jalen needed to get to. I'm in the fight with you guys, and that's where it feels like he's at.
I don't disagree with
And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I don't disagree with anything you said. Yeah. I thought that the Bengals win was a great performance. I said yesterday about Jalen that the the finally it gets into his head, I need to figure out or at least try to do these things that I haven't been able to do before, even if I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big thing. Also, I agree with you, even if he doesn't feel that way about Nick, saying that you feel that way is an important thing to keep the team together, all those things. I'm just not there. And I think the other reason is, and this, I know people will say you're crazy and that's not fair, the Green Bay game almost feels like the preseason game to me. In my head, it just seems so long ago, such a weird game. Green Bay wasn't what Green Bay is. We were different. Like, it just, it was in Brazil. I almost can't even count.
But I don't get why that impacts.
Why isn't Green Bay what they are?
I'm just curious. They're a better team now than they were.
But I mean, they're still a good team, though.
Sure, yeah.
But you think they're better than the Eagles, is what you're saying?
I don't know.
Because I think the Eagles are better than the Packers.
I have no idea. All I know is that game, if we're saying what are their accomplishments this mm-hmm. year, I'm not saying they beat the Packers. It's just a separate thing to me. Even though it's not that I don't want to give them credit for it. I know it sounds that way.
But even
it's not
if you don't signal out the Packers win, because I didn't think it was a super impressive performance. It was an impressive win.
Yeah, we were waiting to get the first game of the season.
Yeah, we had in Brazil.
We were conflicted about that game, I think, a lot of us were.
But I think you have to include it when you talk about the fact that this team at full strength is undefeated. So we can feel however we want.
It does matter.
But you say full strength. It's not nobody's at full strength.
No, but all right, fine. You want to say the Atlanta game? Fine. But I'm saying the Tampa game, you can't hold against them. They're missing AJ Davante and Lane.
Game against
now
them.
They should have played better than they did, and it was disappointing the way they no-showed.
Yeah.
But fine, you want to say 4-1 or whatever. Like the Atlanta game, you're right. That should count. You're only missing AJ. You should still win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, this is a team that like. The record speaks for itself. When however you want to feel about the Packers game, you have to include it as a win in a totality.
Sure, part of the record. I agree. And
everybody else's win week one counts.
I'm not saying it doesn't count. I'm saying when I'm thinking about the team, mm-hmm. it almost feels like a different portion of the schedule to me. I don't want to belabor it. It doesn't.
Well, yeah.
I think maybe one. So you weren't here in 2022, right? I'm trying to remember the year. Okay. So for me, maybe one of the reasons me and Ike are a little more in and you don't quite feel it yet is just because I think that felt like 2022. Like being part of it.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Just like the way the fans reacted to everything, the way the locker room was, the way Jalen, like, so it's been a long time since it felt like that.
Yes. That game felt like 2022, but the Browns game felt like 2023.
It did, but.
And it was 2 weeks prior.
But that's
Browns is not a bad loss, man. I mean, not a bad win.
No, I know. But again,
that's a decent team.
You're talking about how it felt.
No, sure. I know.
You know, that's how that game felt to me.
But a lot of that was, if we're being honest, like part of it was how they played for sure. But also a lot of it was what Nick did.
Yes.
Like Nick overshadowed what I think. If Nick doesn't do what he does, I think we'd be able to look at it a little more and go, you know what? Jalen didn't turn it over. The defense was pretty good.
Sure.
And so that's part of it.
215-592-9494. Do you believe in the Eagles as Super Bowl contender? Steven Eagleville, you're on WIP. Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
What up, Steve?
Good. Hey, this is my first time calling, so bear with me a minute here. I'm on the same side as Spike. I'm not ready to jump all in on this yet. I just think we need a little bit more consistency from everybody. I'm not saying it's not a good win and that it wasn't positive for the team as a whole, but at the same time, like, if you really look at it, most of the points were scored by, you know, the quarterback and his legs, not by the team as a whole. And the one throw to Devontae.
What does that even mean? What does that mean? Hold on. What does that even mean, Steve?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
What does that mean that the most of the points that were scored by the quarterback and his legs?
Well, with the tush push and all.
Yeah, oh, so you're telling me? Hold on. So you're telling me you don't believe had they just turned around and gave the ball to Saquon three times, he wouldn't have scored those touchdowns?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's not a sustainable model.
It is sustainable. It's been sustainable since they've been doing it. What do you mean it's not sustainable? It is sustainable.
Well, everybody was saying a couple weeks ago, you can't give the...
Well, let me ask you this, Steve. I'm curious, really quick. I'm just curious. Like, how did you feel about the offense in 2022?
I felt good about it, but I felt like some of what they did wasn't exactly clean football.
We set these unrealistic expectations.
The reason I'm asking though is because Jalen is on track for 20 touchdowns this year passing, and he had 23 that year. So, like, it's not going to be that different in terms of how they made the Super Bowl in 2022. I get your point that do I think Jalen can throw for 40 touchdowns in this league? No, I think Jalen, I'd be surprised if he ever did that. And so you're right when you look at the other contending teams, like, it looks different. But we've seen them almost win the Super Bowl with this exact model of offense.
Game manager, we're going to push. We're going to pound it all the way to New Orleans, Steve. Pound town.
Him and Hugh driving all
New
the way there.
New Orleans, Steve.
Yep, pound town with Ike and Hugh.
Yep, in the car and Tucker videotaping.
I was just going to say, he's trying to get on that road trip with Hugh.
I am the road trip, Steve. What do you mean? I'm the road trip.
Thank you for the call, Steve. Oh,
yes. My apologies.
Yes. You think Hugh wants to roll by himself?
No, come on. And he doesn't want to roll with any of us. So
exactly.
Thank you for the call, Steve. The tush push, the touchdowns count. Now, I don't like when they count them as Jalen total
rushing
touchdowns.
Yes.
If we're talking about that, that's a different. But a touchdown's a touchdown.
I agree with you, but also bottom line, they're like one of the most effective teams in the league at converting fourth and third and like short. So
that's fine.
I'm just saying, but that is a winning formula to be able to when it's third and second, like to consistently get first downs. I mean, that's a winning formula.
I'm not betting on any more anytime Saquon touchdowns.
No,
they're all Jalen.
Yeah.
Well, you see Jalen handed him the ball to spike it.
Yeah. I would have
threw it right back at him. Yeah, would have hit him in the helmet with it. The only time I don't like the tush push is when they're in the middle of the field. It's third down. It's early in the game. It's just, it feels like a waste of a
I agree. It's not, it feels lazy, but it is what it is.
All right. Two things. Man, we got a lot to get to. First of all, this is a quote from Elliot. Uh-huh. These are things we're going to get to next. First, I don't get the obsession with the Eagles needing an identity on offense. They just need to take care of the ball and score.
Nice.
It doesn't matter if they're a running team, a passing team, an AJ team, or a Saquon team. All right, that's the first thing we'll debate.
I'm happy you brought that up.
Okay. The other thing, we have a quote from Howard from last night about his behavior at the Eagles-Bengals game.
Sickening stuff.
Howard's behavior?
Yes. From a quote from Howard.
About me?
No.
Okay.
About him.
Right.
You are safe, Elliot.
Okay. Well, normally when someone says Howard said something on air to me, it means my training
really
camp stats.
You are a fellow Big J.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As a Big
that
J.
That is true.
Yeah. Egregious stuff from an Eagles Insider of the Year candidate.
Well, I hope it's taken into account on Wednesday.
And the other thing
that I care.
And this is on you, Elliot.
Okay.
Is that we have a Juan Soto rumor may lead back to the Phillies.
Hardest wood I had ever touched.
And we have all determined that we are sacrificing for Soto.
Okay.
So Jack will name his second child Juan. I committed to a Juan Soto tattoo. Ike is going to eat a sandwich with mayonnaise on it.
Very soft.
And we're going to...
Mayonnaise is great.
Yeah. Well,
of course it
mayonnaise
is.
May be the worst thing
I actually
ever.
Do vegan mayo. It's very good.
Vegan mayo is pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Vegan mayo?
Yeah, it tastes just like regular mayo, to be honest.
Yes. Because
we know what it tastes like.
They don't use eggs.
Well, you will when Juan Soto's here.
Yeah. So we're going to need to see if you'll participate.
Yeah.
So all that is next. We have a lot to get to. That is all coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. To WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We have some good Soto news for you coming up. Elliot Shore Parks is here for Tuesdays with Elliot. All right, Elliot, you're going to need to explain yourself here.
Gladly.
Quote, this is from Elliot Shore Parks, the number three Eagles Insider of the Year candidate.
On Twitter and not Threads.
Yes, only on Twitter.
I'm almost at 10,000 followers on Threads.
Well, I have an idea for you in Threads coming up. But anyway,
don't
post it.
Here's the quote. I don't get the obsession with the Eagles needing a, quote, identity on offense. They just need to take care of the ball and score. It doesn't matter if they're a running team, a passing team, an AJ team, a Saquon team, etc. I think this is, like, foolish.
Okay, let's hear why.
Actually.
All right.
It's not... I don't need to know the identity. They need to know the identity.
Why?
Because the...
what is it... Just to be clear before we start this, what does an identity mean to you? Like, what are we talking about?
What an identity.
Do they have to, like, submit to the league? They're a running team before the game? Like, what?
No, of course not.
Oh, you want to act like you don't know what
I'm honestly curious because it's for, like, weeks they've been asked about it. Like, I don't know what it means.
It's like when you watch a team, you're saying, okay, their identity is they are an explosive team that wants to throw the ball down the field, take their shots, this and that, or their team that sort of is a ground and pound type of running the football team, or are you a team that wants to win by defense and just ball controlled offense? You kind of form an identity. There's certain teams out there that you're like, I know what that team
is. Right.
And all the best offensive teams are. I mean, if I were to ask you, do the Rams, the greatest show on turf, did they have an identity?
What would you say their identity was?
Of course it was. Are you serious?
No, I'm just curious how you would, like, because here's what I'm saying about the Eagles. I feel like when people want to ask about the identity, right, it's like, well, are they a running team because Jalen can't do this? Or are they a passing team because they pay all their guys this? Are they a big play team because they throw the ball down the field a bunch? They really do almost all of it. They run the ball quite a bit. They throw the ball to AJ and Devontae all the time. They do more down the field throws and intermediate 7-8 yards at a time. But I just, like, why does it matter? They are a team that has stars. They get the ball to their stars, and they do it in a number of different ways. So this obsession with being like, find their identity, why? I don't want them to be like forced into one thing where, well, it's a running team now.
It's not that they're being forced into one thing. And I would guarantee you, to a man down there, even if they don't come up with the same clear-cut definition, if you were to ask them, they want to have an identity as a football team. They've even talked about it. Jalen has even talked about, you know, still trying to find our identity as a football team. And identity is a formula for success that you rely upon every week. It's not that you can't do other things. Like, you're going to always do both. But what do you do primarily, and what do you do best? What can I lean on when I'm trying to win the football game, when I need a big play, when I'm trying to go win this game? What am I leaning on? And so for an offense, having that identity, now I agree, it's the identity is for both sides of the football. You want to be a certain identity as a defense. You want to have a certain identity as an offense. And the Eagles seemingly have found that formula that works best for them, where they get points, and more importantly, they take care of the football. And if that means we are a run-heavy team, doesn't mean you can't throw the ball and you won't throw the ball. You know they're going to throw the ball.
Right.
But it seems like for the last 3 weeks, they have leaned more on the run game. Would you agree with that? That they have leaned on the run game more?
Definitely. And I would say on the defensive side of the ball, I do think that teams have identities, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some teams are blitzing teams. Yep. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. Some teams play cover two. They don't play much man. They play a lot of zone. Some teams are corner state. Like, I get the identity thing on defense. Mm-hmm. But on offense, for me, talking about this team, I think they can do a bunch of everything. So if you want to say their identity is not just has to be run or pass, then fine. We can identify something. We can describe them. But I don't think I think a lot of this conversation comes from, like, are they a running team or are they a passing team? Is it a Saquon team or is it a Jalen-led team?
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't matter because I've seen them win games various ways.
Well, hold on.
We haven't seen them win games this year throwing the ball.
Yeah, I think it's quite clear.
You don't think this past Sunday?
No.
And I know you had a bunch of rushing touchdowns, but they did move the ball. I mean, they had a bunch of big completions.
They threw the ball 20 times.
Right, but they had, like, the long touchdown to Devontae. They had the big third and
six. That was set up.
Right.
They threw the ball. I'm not saying they're not going to throw the ball, but they ran the ball so much more than throwing it.
Well, and if we're going to talk about success,
almost 2-1.
Well, if we're going to talk about success post-bye, which you are pointing to as post-bye, they clearly have an identity on offense, and it is clearly run first since the bye.
So I'm fine if you want to say that, but my whole point is, I don't think they're a team that can't win throwing the ball. Like, I don't think that I don't go into a game going, they have to win running the ball because that's who they are. Like, I'd be curious to know why Jack disagrees. But,
well,
like,
because you can't put the game on Jalen's shoulders and expect them to win.
Why?
That's not.
Well, they've determined they can't.
But look, is Jalen going to throw for 400 yards every week? No. But Jalen has made big throws each of the last three games to help them win. He absolutely has.
But that's different than saying, do you think the Ravens are primarily a run team?
Yes.
Okay. But do you think that...
Do the Ravens have A.J. Brown?
No.
But that's the difference. That's a difference to me.
But you are... There's a difference between being able to make a play through the air and basing your offense through throwing the ball.
Right.
This is just a difference.
You agree with that.
No, I agree. But to me, that's... I think maybe we're describing two things. Maybe it's semantics. To me, that's not identity. That is, like, how you want a game plan. And identity to me is, when I think of the Eagles, I think of them as a running team. Right? Like
yeah,
that.
That's what you do.
And I don't think of them that way. So
well,
that,
the league does.
That's fine.
But and did you think of the 2022 team as a running team?
No.
Even though,
huh?
Come on,
2020, dude. AJ,
we led the league in rushing.
Yes, they were a good rushing team, but they could also throw the ball when they needed to.
No.
Yeah, but
how many passing yards did Jalen have in the Super Bowl?
Well, first of all, he had 15 rushing touchdowns.
He did.
We know the one game he threw the ball, and that may be the best game he threw the ball all year long. Not saying he didn't have other throws, but it's okay. To me, it's okay, quite frankly. I think once you discover this is what we're best at, and this is going to be the best way for us to win, embrace that. Embrace that. What often happens is ego gets in the way. Someone's trying to, I don't know, reach the next plateau so they can either be a head coach or what have you. They're looking for validation. When we as fans, all we care about is winning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the idea that, yeah, we got two great wide receivers, and I'm sure they're going to want the ball a certain amount of times. And if they can get seven targets, they're going to catch six of them, seven, eight targets. They're going to catch six or seven of them. They should be happy with that. They'll be happy with that as long as they're winning. But if you want Jalen to drop back 35, 40 times and throw the ball just to make sure that all the receivers are happy and he's throwing for 300-some yards, we're not going to win very many games that way.
So I don't want Jalen to drop back all those times just to make him happy. And I agree that this team's formula for success is probably not Jalen dropping back 40 times. But when I think of a run-first team, I think of a team that can't throw the ball.
Right. And I know what you're saying.
I don't. The 49ers were a run-first team.
Yeah, but because they had Brock Purdy, who nobody thought was that good.
But
they
was the number one. They throw the ball. Okay,
hold on.
But let's talk about the Niners' weapons compared to the Eagles' weapons.
Okay, the Niners got weapons.
The Niners have tons of weapons.
Debo Samuel is not what A.J. and Devontae
is. Dude, you can't tell me the 49ers don't have weapons,
they have weapons, but they have running.
George
weapons.
Kittle,
yes.
Debo Samuel,
McCaffrey.
Yes, Christian McCaffrey. It's almost a mirror of this friggin' team.
To me it's not, because Debo is not a number one type of receiver. He does not win consistently on the outside.
So then
Debo,
why aren't they throwing it 35 times a game?
What'd you say?
Why aren't they throwing it 35 times a game then?
The Eagles right now?
Yes.
Well, the past two games they've been up big, and that's part. And again, I'm not saying they should drop back 35 times a game. I'm saying I think they can pass the ball to win when they need to.
Well, okay, but that doesn't mean their main identity is not running the football.
Yeah, but
of course you have to be able to throw the football.
Right. And to your point.
But I don't think their identity is running the football.
Hold on. Elliot, you just said to me, you believe the 49ers' identity is running the football, right?
Yes.
They had the number one ranked passer in the NFL last year.
Okay.
So
and
now
he threw more touchdowns than Jalen did.
Number one.
Well, then I guess they shouldn't be viewed as a running team.
But they are.
I don't mean to tell you.
That's what they do first. That's what everything is built upon.
But I think the truth will set you free.
No. I'm willing to give in. I said on the defensive side. No, because I think what's baked into all this is a belief that the Eagles can't throw the football. That is what's baked in, and I'm not conceding that point.
Are the Lions a run first team?
Why does it matter? That's the other point. Like, if we're
they
talking,
are a run first
they,
team.
They are a run first team. But they can throw the football.
Of course they can!
Yes!
That's all what it is.
If you guys will admit they can throw the football, then I'll concede.
But you love Jalen now. Right, here we go.
No, so I see. Okay, I just figured it out. I see what he's pushing back against. He's pushing back against the notion that Jalen can't throw the football.
And do you know why?
Why?
This is all because I know everyone here so well. Elliot wants redemption from his preseason no interception.
Just you get ready. I'm not saying where this is going, but I'll tell you guys.
I noticed it. That's why
in about a week,
the Tampa
get
game.
Ready. Get ready for a training camp stat update in about a week.
I know.
Yes.
All right. I finally saw it. I know everybody here better than they know themselves. Okay. All right. We're moving on. Hold on.
All right.
Twitter question is sponsored by I finally clicked.
Yeah.
The Twitter question.
I was
happening
there with you.
Yeah. I got there. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't get who. Whatever.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's, marks-jewelers.com. Are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders? 53% say yes, 47% say
not
no.
All right. I'm surprised. All the polls I've seen today have been some similar variation. And this city's not as much back in on this team as I expected.
Yeah.
I thought that win would get it, like 53% from a Eagles fan base is pretty wild.
This thing is like
they're scarred.
It's a tanker, man. This thing don't turn. It's not a speedboat, man. This thing takes a while to get this thing completely turned around.
Yeah.
The fans are slowly getting there though. Give
it
them credit.
It just shows how scarred they were though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the first 4 weeks wasn't pretty.
And people were mad at Nick.
And high expectations, but we're back, E. We got
me and you have tried to tell him for 2 weeks.
Man. Yeah. We're back. We're winning Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, don't think I forgot about your acceptable loss last week.
Well, but that makes it an even more impressive win.
We're on the same page, so I'm not going to harp on the acceptable loss.
It was an acceptable win, too.
It was an acceptable win. Sunday's not an acceptable loss.
No, Sunday's not an acceptable loss.
All right.
It'd be a bad loss.
I have to play you some just honestly shocking audio.
Okay.
So I'm sitting talking to Brandon Graham and Howard Eskin last night.
No big deal to you.
The Brandon Graham Show. Brandon Graham Show, Chickies, every week at 6 o'clock, right before the Players' Lounge, which is 7 o'clock. And we were talking about, Howard asked Brandon a question, and the question was, the Eagles have, the second best road record in the NFL over the last several years. And he asked him why. And Brandon said that the fans do not boo when, the fans travel well. He said fans travel well. And he laughed and said, when they travel, they don't boo when they travel. It was just, a funny joke. But then Howard said this.
Here's the point. He and a couple other morons, fans, were behind the bench. And they're selling this. It's the same rant. Run the ball, run the ball. So then, this is right after the pass to Devontae Smith. I couldn't help myself because we could all hear him on the bench. I said, run the ball, huh? Did you see what the last play was? A pass?
You're fighting with the fans now?
I have to walk back and forth. So I go, shh.
What are you doing?
Run the ball. Why don't you guys just watch the game?
I know.
Why don't you do your job?
I heard him, too.
I think it was during a timeout.
Because he was yelling me loud so we could hear it.
Unbelievable.
So Howard was taunting Eagles fans at the Bengals game after the Eagles scored a touchdown.
You know,
your thoughts.
This might be the best argument for what Nick doing was bad. It's clearly influenced Howard in a negative way.
It's influenced him now.
Well, yeah. Nick can't do it. Big protector over there. I'm surprised you're not doing it. So what are your thoughts as a member of the media about Howard taunting fans after an Eagles Super Bowl?
Look.
An Eagles touchdown, rather.
As someone that is also in the Eagles Insider of the Year thing, I think that something needs to be looked at. Like, he is on the sideline as an objective reporter.
Yes.
And he's not on the sideline as an objective.
Well, that's actually a good point, too.
You're right. That's fair. That's fair.
It was an embarrassing act.
Yeah. I mean, come on. He needs to shave his head now.
I'm going to hold.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right.
I wish there was video of it. There's no video of it.
I'm shocked there's no video. I'm also shocked there's no video.
Somebody's got to go through the footage.
Right. Yeah.
Go through the all 22.
I'll be there doing it. Don't worry.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Oh, man. If you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so, Howard, I don't know if I would have divulged that so soon.
Yeah.
Might have waited a month or two before I brought that out.
Oh, dude. Seriously.
That's how you know they're back. We got Howard on the sideline.
Shushing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, they've done better because they're running the ball. Why are you so mad at the fans?
Well, right. Yes. Yeah. They're running the ball. They were right. Yeah.
Of course they're right.
Yeah.
But it's not their identity.
Right. No, not at all.
Right.
So, Juan Soto and Elliot, we love your support in this.
Yeah, man.
The WIP.
I mean, they clearly need somebody.
The WIP Afternoon Show has decided that we will sacrifice for Soto. We will all sacrifice something. Jack, in maybe the ballsiest move I've ever heard from anyone on WIP, and I believe this is ballsier than Mark's getting Nick Foles, and I have a lot of respect for Mark's getting Nick Foles tattooed on his back, but Jack has volunteered that their second child will be named Juan if Juan Soto signs here in Philadelphia.
And yes. Jill approved of this?
No.
Well,
because otherwise it's a completely empty.
I think Jack will get it done.
Okay.
That's fair enough. He committed to it. He'll get it done.
He's the man of the house.
Yes. Wow.
That's right.
Yeah, it's his car. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
It's his car. I have committed to a Juan Soto tattoo. I'm not getting Juan Soto's face, but I talked about getting his 22, maybe Philly's logo, something like that. Ike was not getting a tattoo, is not having any more children.
You have so many tattoos, I don't know how much that counts
for. It counts
for
something.
That's what we said, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, what, I don't have kids.
It's fair.
What do you want me to do?
Adopt another dog, name him Juan.
No.
Okay, no.
I don't need another dog.
We're not wasting ink on me. So
But I did commit. Already. Ike hates mayonnaise. Ike will eat a sandwich with mayonnaise on it.
I will eat a mayonnaise sandwich.
Whoa. Only mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Vegan?
That's gross.
No, right. Let him eat regular mayonnaise.
I think you'll like vegan better, to be honest. I'm just letting you know, like, for your stomach, I think you would enjoy vegan
more. I got Ike over the vegan hump with cupcakes. I'll have the vegan.
You don't put mayo on your cheesesteak?
Yeah.
You don't put mayo on your cheesesteak?
Mayo on the cheesesteak?
Yeah.
Some people do.
Ketchup, mayo, fried onion, salt, pepper? No.
I don't put anything on it.
So,
wow. Cheesesteak is good.
That's dry.
Elliot?
Well, it depends on where you get it at.
It's true.
Elliot, are you willing to sacrifice something for the Phillies to sign Juan Soto?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what that is? Or are we going to wait on that?
I mean, so I think the thing I could give more than anything
is delete your Threads account.
Yes.
Spike wanted that.
No.
Why not? Well,
because I have almost 10,000 people depending on content there. Yeah. At Elliot Short Parks on Threads. On. Yeah. Hey, they still count.
And by the way, this is from Bob Nightingale.
Yeah.
The Yankees haven't hidden their desire to have Juan Soto return. The crosstown Mets, with the richest owner in baseball, Steve Cohen, could be beckoning. The Philadelphia Phillies are expected to strongly pursue him to team up with Boris client Bryce Harper. Mm. And then he also mentions the Blue Jays and the Giants. Mm. So
I think the thing I could give in this more than anything is I will concede if they get Juan Soto, I'll concede they're a better run organization than the Sixers. And I will get it on the back of a Phillies jersey.
But you're conceding, but you don't actually believe it.
Honestly, with the way they're handling this Embiid thing, I'm turning.
Will you get a Phillies tattoo? You're not going to get tattooed.
I'm too afraid of a tattoo.
And you won't shave your head?
No.
Look at that. Look at that head.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would want Elliot to give up.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think what you want that I know annoys you. I won't talk about the Phillies on
yes.
there.
Yes. How about that?
I don't want to punish the people.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, the Sixers-Phillies thing is what annoys Jack and people the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it has to be something with that.
Okay.
I think you gotta drive with James Seltzer after having two double shot espressos from Starbucks.
No. I do that every Saturday.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't know about that. 215-592.
Do you think they're gonna get him?
If I had to bet, I don't think they're the favorite. Yeah. I think one of the New York teams would be the favorite. But I do believe that John Middleton is going to do something that is financially stupid. When I say stupid, I don't mean a bad spend.
Right.
But not a financially responsible move. I just don't think he's going to be able to contain himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his frustration, look, I thought his frustration was going to manifest in one of two ways. Either he's going to come in and clean house, which he didn't. They're not firing anybody.
Right.
Or I don't just think he's going to be able to sit back and let Dave Dombrowski, you know, sign Austin Hayes to a 2-year, $16 million deal. I think the days of signing, you know, what's his name? The guy who didn't hit 200 here.
Whit Merrifield.
Right. And that sort of nonsense is out the door. I think he's going to make a big splash.
I would be, obviously, I hope to get him. And if they get him, that's the ultimate victory there. But like, if they actually table a contract for $500 million, whatever, and he doesn't sign it, like, I almost give them as much credit.
Yes.
Like, if they are willing to do it, I will be extremely impressed by this front office.
Well,
like, you can't make them come here, but if you offer it, like, I think that'd be a major, like, big-time move.
I do believe that he will go to whoever pays him the most money. As long as it's on the East Coast, I don't think he's going to Toronto. I don't think he's going to the Giants. I think he wants to be over here. I think whoever pays him the most is going to get him.
So, is there, not to get too deep in the weeds in this, but is there any concern that the Yankees aren't just paying him? Like, why wouldn't they just pay him a ton of money?
Because
he's there.
So, the Yankees are... The Yankees and the Mets are the favorites. One and two, whatever it is.
Right.
And I would actually put the Yankees as the favorites.
Yeah.
The difference with the Yankees is that everybody thinks the Yankees don't have a spending limit.
They do.
They do.
Okay. That's why I was asking.
It's not Cohen with the Mets. And I think Middleton is probably willing to be, have more willingness to be irresponsible than the Yankees are. And the Yankees are conscious of it. The new Steinbrenner clan is not George Steinbrenner.
Okay.
So I think I think you could price the Yankees out.
Because I was a little worried that they're letting him out. You know, like, why? Like, he's in their building. He's awesome. He's young. Why wouldn't they just pay him? But you're saying that's not a concern. There are financial restrictions.
I think it's a concern, but I don't. There are financial restrictions with the Yankees, I believe.
Okay.
That's my belief. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders? Do you believe in them now? Ken and Cinnaminson, you're on WIP.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What up, Ken?
What up, Ken?
Elliot, I think if they get him, the perfect thing for you to do is
you have to wear shoes that actually fit your feet for the entire Philly season.
Wait, does Elliot not wear shoes that fit him?
So people are floored by this.
He finds his feet up like a geisha, so he can fit him into little
I get like three or four different pairs of shoes, like sizes. Like if there's a shoe I like, I can get it a half size up, a half size down. I'll get a shoe size, a full size up. Like, not if they have all the sizes. If they have all the sizes, I'll consistently get the same one.
You'll wear a shoe that's too small on your feet?
If it's a shoe I really want and it's the only size they have, yes.
What are you, 8?
I can't wear shoes.
I mean, that's
small.
The shoe size. But like I'm saying, if like I'm not wearing two sizes.
You wear an 8?
I wear like 8.5.
Oh, that's bad
size. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
No. I would never tell anybody your shoe size, bro.
No.
Trust me, we've missed this. Yeah.
Ken, let him wear bigger shoes. Yeah. Let him wear bigger shoes for all of us.
But I don't get what's weird about buying a shoe in a different size if you want to buy it. You're telling me all your shoes are the exact same size.
Yeah. All my shoes fit me.
Yeah. All my shoes fit me.
You're acting like we're the crazy ones.
Yeah, all my shoes are the exact same size.
You're the ones that buy the exact same shoe size?
Ken, every week we discover something. I discovered something new about Elliot that just makes me shake my head and look down.
Well, and Elliot, I've also heard rumors that, what was your Mary and Joseph thing? You thought they were the same person?
Oh, yeah. So I thought Mary and Joseph was like...
one person?
Yeah, like her name was Mary Ann and her last name was Joseph.
It's Mary.
Not Mary. No, I know. That's the misconception.
Up until when?
Like 2 weeks ago. Someone on air said it. As like a famous duo or whatever. I thought it was Mary Ann Joseph.
Oh. You are wild.
Like when people go like, you know, he's just Mary Ann Joseph.
Mary Ann Joseph.
Yeah, yes, they're saying.
No, now I know. And.
Okay. Right on time.
Yeah.
Right on time.
That Delco accent doesn't pronounce the.
Don't blame Delco.
Ken, what are we going to do with this guy?
I don't know. I mean, I guess he's like Jimmy Johnson. He doesn't celebrate Christmas, so he doesn't pay any attention to any of that.
Right.
Which is funny because his favorite time.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year by far.
Well, wait, and you're?
I'm not religious, really.
All right, but you grew up in a Christian household, or
no?
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
You thought Marianne Joseph was an American Idol contestant?
Ken, we only have a minute here. You think the Eagles are Super Bowl contenders now?
I was never out on the Eagles.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's a 17-week season, and I know everybody wanted to, you know, pitch the tents, you know, because they were one easy drop pass away from being 3-1, and that's really the truth. You know, and in terms of identity, the identity for the Eagles offense is very simple. They are 15-1 under Nick Sirianni when they don't turn the football over.
Yep.
That's the identity for the Eagles offense. Is you just don't turn the football over, and whatever that looks like, whatever version of the
offense. And that's what was in my tweet.
That's not a nice.
Yeah, well,
can I ask you something?
I agree, Ken, but who the hell was turning the ball over?
Well, I'm
it was the quarterback.
you're preaching to the choir, but you know, if all you're asking is look, I have always felt like saying game manager like it's some kind of a pejorative. Is wrong.
Whoa.
Because every good quarterback is a game manager. They have to manage the game. Pejorative means insult, by the way.
We know what it is.
Well, Ken, let me ask you this. What is the record of all NFL teams when they don't turn the ball over?
I haven't done that research.
Okay.
It's probably really very good.
Yeah.
Because I'm an Eagles fan.
Oh, right.
But you know, the point is that, look, if the Eagles offense looks like Jalen Hurts, you know, throwing the ball 20 times, having a bunch of guys wide open because they run a ton of play action,
yep.
and he can, you know, because he's not a guy who likes to throw the ball like he wants to see it first. He's not an anticipatory thrower. So if that's the offense, we're gonna get 20 passes in there. He's gonna complete 15 of them. He's not gonna put the ball in harm's way, and we're gonna run the ball, and we're gonna win football games. Then that's the identity. And
hey.
And you know, if you have some games that are shootouts and you got to, you know, open it up a little more and throw it 30, 35 times, whatever. I'd rather have a team that's capable of doing all of that than and being multiple, as Nick says, our special coach.
Hey, Ken, in 2022, NFL teams were 102-24 when they did not turn the ball over, a winning percentage of 80%.
There you go. So
pretty Ken proven correct.
Yep. Once again.
But Ken proven correct.
Hold on.
Thank you for the call, Ken.
When the Eagles don't turn the ball over, they win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so do all teams.
Every team does that.
That's not a recipe for winning.
No, yeah,
that is the recipe for winning.
Yeah,
take care of the ball.
Well, no bleep.
But what is the record of teams that score more points than their opponent?
Okay. I guess pretty good.
Okay. Jordan, thank you, Elliot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We got Jordan next, as
Jordan, yes.
Jordan Mailata joins us next. We need an update on that hamstring and the second straight game that Jordan watched on TV, and we will find out if he thinks that this is the best game that the Eagles have played on offense all season long. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.